Then this soul, eager with greatness of her desire, through the sweetness of the explanation and satisfaction which she had received from the truth concerning the state of tears, said as one enamored, "Thanks, thanks be to you, supreme and eternal Father, satisfier of holy desires and lover of our salvation, who, through your love, gave us love himself in the time of our warfare with you, in the person of your only begotten Son. By this abyss of your fiery love, I beg of you grace and mercy, that I may come to you truly in the light, and not flee far in darkness away from your doctrine, of which you have clearly demonstrated to me the truth, so that, by the light thereof, I perceive two other points, concerning which I fear that they are, or may become, stumbling blocks to me. I beg, Eternal Father, that before I leave the subject of these states of tears, you would explain these points also to me. The first is, when a person desirous of serving you comes to me, or to some other servant of yours, to ask for counsel, how should I teach him? I know, sweet and eternal God, that you replied above to this question, I am he who takes delight in few words and many deeds. Nevertheless, if it please your goodness to grant me a few more words on the subject, it will cause me the greatest pleasure. And also, if on some occasion, when I am praying for your creatures, and in particular for your servants, and I seem to see the subject of my prayer, in one I find, in the course of my prayer, a well-disposed mind, a soul rejoicing in you, and in another, as it might seem to me, a mind full of darkness, have I the right, O Eternal Father, to judge the one soul to be in light and the other in darkness? Or, supposing I should see that the one lives in great penance and the other does not, should I be right to judge that he who does the greater penance has the higher perfection? I pray you, so that I may not be deceived through my limited vision, that you would declare to me in detail what you have already said in general on this matter. The second request I have to make is that you will explain further to me about the sign which you said the soul received on being visited by you, the sign which revealed your presence. If I remember well, O Eternal Truth, you said that the soul remained in joy and courageous virtue. I would gladly know whether this joy can consist with the delusion of the passion of spiritual self-love, for if it were so, I would humbly confine myself to the sign of virtue. These are the things which I beg you to tell me, so that I may serve you and my neighbor in truth, and not fall into false judgment concerning your creatures and servants. For it seems to me that the habit of judging keeps the soul far from you, so I do not wish to fall into this snare. How the light of reason is necessary to every soul that wishes to serve God in truth, and first of the light of reason in general. Then the eternal God, delighting in the thirst and hunger of that soul, and in the purity of her heart, and the desire with which she longed to serve him, turned the eye of his benignity and mercy upon her, saying, O best beloved, dearest and sweetest daughter, my spouse, rise out of yourself and open the eye of your intellect to see me, the infinite goodness and the ineffable love which I have towards you and my other servants, and open the ear of the desire which you feel towards me, and remember that if you do not see, you cannot hear.